Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, why don't you say both your names and your title with the fest?
Lee Anderson
And Patty White,
and we are the festival directors
and co-founders of
the
the
Annapolis
Annapolis Film
Film
Festival.
Festival.
Thanks so much for joining us. It's become an annual tradition to speak with you every year. What year are we in now?
Nine.
Nine. Oh my gosh. And needless to say, year nine has been very different than the past, right? Or I guess last summer did you go virtually? Because I guess you were caught right in the middle of this thing last year.
Last year we had 9 days to pivot to virtual, and we were one of the first festivals in the whole country to become virtual.
Right. And it wasn't really building it the way we are today because we were just sort of slammed and we went into a virtual scenario. This time we chose to be virtual because of the scenario, and we are building it accordingly.
We have a much better platform this year. It's very user-friendly, and we're grateful that that was built after the pandemic started. So
It's called Eventive, and it's very user-friendly for people, so they shouldn't be fearful of getting a pass or tickets and signing on and watching our wonderful array of over 100 films.
So one of the great things about the platform this year is that anyone with a Roku, Apple TV, or any of the Amazon Fire TV devices like Fire Stick or just the Fire, the Cube, they can all watch the whole festival on their home smart TV. So that's really easy. You just go and download the Eventive app from that channel and look for the Annapolis Film Festival channel and log in. It's pretty easy.
Awesome. So is it entirely virtual, or is there any hybrid opportunities like in person as well?
It's all virtual this
Okay.
year.
I think that's probably smart because while the public perception is that we're coming out of the woods, the reality is cases are spiking, and I think we do need a little bit longer to get back to normal, but that's just my opinion. So I'm glad you're giving us an option that we can all watch it at home.
But we extended to 10 days this year for that reason.
10 days? Okay, great.
That way, and we do have a few more films, but we also have more time for people to actually browse through and take a look and see all the goodies that we have.
Great. One more bit of housekeeping before we get to the actual movies. How did they actually get tickets? I mean, I assume they can sign up for individual screenings or a whole festival pass. So give me like the price breakdown and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. The festival pass is a really great deal. It's $115 unlimited films. We have 108 films on the slate, so it's almost a dollar a film. And you can buy a pass. You can buy a 4-pack of tickets for $35. They're individually priced at $10. And if you love shorts, you can just get a shorts pass to 9 shorts programs for $50.
Okay, great. And then how long do they stay, I guess, in your Roku queue or whatever once you've actually bought the ticket?
Well, that's the interesting thing is the schedule. Everyone has to look and see what date the film is available. So just to keep it simple, spotlights roll out a new one 7 p.m. each night. Programs during the day start at 9 a.m. One shorts program will roll out each day after opening night for the next 9 days. And the showcases are on the
The showcases
weekends.
are pretty much at specific times, the way we usually have them live, but then they stay up afterwards most of the time. And so we're just trying to be consistent, but also giving people a chance to view a lot more material for a lot more time.
And not all films are up for all 10 days, Jason.
Okay.
You have to be, the one thing you need to do is to read. It's all there. It's all there for you to know exactly how long that film's going to play, how long you can pick it up and see it. So there's the really, all your questions are answered right there on the site.
Cool.
Most of
Yeah.
the shorts, when they go up, will be up for the duration of the festival.
And just to tell you, the shorts programs are fantastic this year, and they all are very themed toward television because we've all been in front of our TV screens. We've had to watch everything on television. So now you're getting game shows and reality shows. We have them Fear Factor, Survivor, Jeopardy, The Price is Right,
Tree
Extreme Makeover,
Makeover.
our favorite, of course.
We produced that show.
So it's a lot of fun, but there's some wonderful shorts, and we have several Oscar nominated shorts, and many that were on the short list. And I mean, we have a great array of films.
I love it. All right, well, without further ado, let's get into the fun part. Let's talk about the actual movies themselves. So let's go through some of the spotlight films, and like we were saying, we'll, you know, not drill down too deep on each one, but just give you a quick overview. All right. So tell me about How to Be a Good Wife. What's that one about? Who's in it?
This is such a fun ride. It stars Juliette Binoche. It's a French film. It takes place in like late 50s, early 60s. And she is running a girls' finishing school in the countryside outside of Paris.
Mon Dieu.
On the eve of the women's liberation movement.
Nice, nice. Nicely succinctly done. That's the perfect kind of soundbite we're looking for. All right, cool. And then there's a documentary called
Candy. Well, before we do that, can we go to opening night? Because that's the first spotlight of all, you know? We want to make sure we get that in there. So our opening night film is called Marvelous and the Black Hole. We first saw it at Sundance this year. And I think we're the next place it's arriving to screen is with us, the East Coast premiere of it. So this film stars Rhea Perlman and Mia Cech.
It is directed by Kate Tsang.
Yeah, and directed by Kate Tsang. And it's a fantastic little, wonderful, sort of dreamlike film about a rebellious teenage girl who's having a struggling after her mother passes away, meets up with an eccentric magician. That's Rhea Perlman. And the journey that happens after that is one you just can't miss. And it's a lot of fun.
And we will have a Q&A with Rhea Perlman and Mia Cech and Kate Tsang following the screening hosted by Joe Neumeier.
And believe me, there's going to be a little magic in there too.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, we've loved Rhea Perlman since, gosh, Cheers for sure. But, you know, Matilda and all the stuff with Danny DeVito. Like, yeah, that's going to be, that's so cool. She's Skyping in or what, Zooming in or however you're doing it.
Yeah, she did it.
Okay, cool. So that's opening night. That's great. All right, let's touch on a couple more. We got Kenny Scharf, When Worlds Collide. Tell me about this documentary.
Kenny Scharf is a pop artist that was probably lesser known during the era of Andy Warhol and Keith Haring, but he did big, bold, bright, colored art in New York. And this is a bio, sort of a biopic about his life and his work. And his daughter is one of the directors of the film.
Right.
Oh, nice. Little personal family touch. I like that. All right, cool. Tell me about, and forgive me if I'm not saying this correctly, but is it Luzu?
Luzu is a very dramatic film from Malta. And it's a fascinating story of a fisherman and his family, his young family, wife and newborn child. And he's caught up in the fishing industry that is really going black market. And he's having to deal with ethics and the reality of what his future faces for his family.
And there's a little romance in there too.
Well, they're a married couple. It's a love story in many ways, but the child has some difficulties. So it's just a wonderful drama. It's shot beautifully. Malta is a character in the story. The fishing boat is a character in the story. It's just a lovely drama.
Sounds great. All right, why should we check out Materna?
Materna has gotten a lot of buzz on the circuit. This is
it's won a lot of jury awards, and it's a unique and different kind of film.
It's basically four stories that have a common theme. So it's not easy to figure out initially. You have to kind of stay with it. And then it becomes clear through the evolution of how the stories are connected.
Vignettes that come together in the end, and we won't tell you how.
But part of it shot in, is it Kazakhstan?
I believe
it's beautiful.
The last part of it is. But the rest of it's basically...
New York City.
Yeah, New York City. Awesome. It's a very New York City. And of course, Materna is the Latin word for maternal, you know. So, you know, it's all about mothers, daughters, issues. Very intriguing. Stay with it. It kind of comes in a somewhat experimental way, and then it sort of takes you into all kinds of places. So
thanks for teeing that up and saying that, you know, that the end is going to pack a punch without actually giving it away. We appreciate it. All right, tell me about the outside story. This is something that, you know, if any of our listeners are maybe more introverted themselves, they might relate to this one.
A comedy. You got a good comedy here.
And another known actor that right. is recognizable. He stars in the series Atlanta.
Brian Tyree Henry.
So imagine being a very introverted writer that gets locked out of his apartment.
During
COVID and is forced to then interact with the neighbors and everyone else. So it's a comedy that's a little lighthearted and fun ride that, you know, we wanted to have some levity this year. It's been a tough year for everybody. So there are a lot of shorts and features that have some comedic elements to them.
Well, in the outside story, he just finds himself in the most crazy situations that you actually can imagine happening if you get locked out of your apartment, you know?
Yeah, let alone during COVID. That's got to be crazy.
Right. And let alone an introvert, you know?
Right, an introvert locked out of his apartment during COVID. Say no more.
Yeah, very relatable.
That's a log line. That's all I need to know to watch that. That sounds great. Okay, cool. Paper Spiders. What's Paper Spiders about? A little coming of age.
This is a very well done indie film. It stars Lily Taylor, who some people may not know, but when you see her, you'll say, oh, I've seen her a million times. And a young teenage actress who's very good. And it follows the story of a young girl in her senior year of high school. The father has recently died. She's hoping to get into medical school. And her mom initially appears to be quirky, but the quirkiness becomes a little more concerning as the story evolves. And you realize what happens when a child is forced to deal with a parent with mental illness.
And just imagine, you know, you're in your senior year, you've got graduation, prom, new boyfriend, going to college, all of that when you're watching the demise sort of the condition of your mother, your only parent alive.
So. It's really well done.
Yeah.
We were impressed with this. This is a first time effort by
No, it's not the first time. It's a second film.
Second film.
But here's the interesting part. We're doing a live interactive Q&A following it with Inan Champagnier and his and our mental health expert in Annapolis who runs Oasis Center for the Mental Health.
And Kathy Miller. And it's hosted by Joe Neumeier as well. But we will be taking questions in the chat because we feel like it's such a realistic portrayal.
Right.
That people will relate to this and they need to talk about these issues right now.
Exactly.
Oh, I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of that. Not only the movie, but the Q&A. I mean, that's one of those stories where you don't want to wish that upon anyone, but that'll make you grow up quick. If that's what you're dealing with your senior year.
And that's what you see in this film. You see this young girl growing up quickly.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds powerful. Now something for a little bit, something different, a political themed, election themed film. We got The Perfect Candidate. What's that about?
This is a fantastic film.
This film we've gotten, this is Haifa Al-Mansour. This is her second film. She did Wajda, which was such a great film. And this is her second film that she's done. And this is a young Saudi Arabian doctor, female doctor, is up against a very difficult situation in her town where they're not paving roads to the hospital, they're not doing anything. So she decides to run for local office. And she's up against, you know, no women have ever run for office in Saudi Arabia. So she is up against a very difficult situation. And even her family, some of her family members turn on her. But it's also got humor and culture and family issues. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful story.
And if you think about how she had to direct this, she had to get a lot of men to do things and direct from afar.
Right. Yes.
Because of the way things are done in that country. So it's fascinating to see what a lovely, perfect film tied up in a bow. I mean, the pacing's perfect. The culture is rich. It's filmed spectacularly. And
you don't want to miss this one.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Awesome. Sounds powerful, both in the.
You don't think we like our films this
year. I'm glad you picked ones you enjoyed. Yeah, it'd be better than coming on here saying, we don't like this one.
Well, you've hit the good ones.
Sure. Well, hey, you put them on your website as the spotlights. I'm just going down. Don't give me too much credit. One more. I believe this one played at Sundance as well a couple months ago. Together.
Yes, I'm so happy you brought that one up.
A great one.
The trailer just dropped this past week.
Yeah.
It stars Ed Helms from, you'll recognize him from what, The Office? And
The Patty Harris.
Hangover.
Yeah, The Hangover, he'll be really known for. He's the guy that his whole face was messed up the whole time.
Lost his tooth.
And Patty Harrison. She's the comedian, Patty Harrison.
It's a very interesting modern relationship look at a man in his 40s that's not married, that hires a surrogate to have his baby.
And then the continuation of the relationship, what happens to them when they build a familial platonic relationship, which is very modern, you know, not sexual, not romantic. And what happens when the ups and downs of that relationship while building toward the moment of birth?
Oh yeah. I mean, we've seen, it's such a cool topic. Like, I guess we've saw, you know, surrogate parents and what was it? Mark Ruffalo in The Kids Are All Right. There's been a couple of them, but it's not really, it hasn't been tackled that much. So that sounds like it's going to be cool.
The gestational surrogacy thing is really interesting. And just the way they handle it and together is, it's just very, really relevant today.
And Jo's doing a terrific Q&A with the director after the film. Right. She's really unassuming and lovely.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, that's, I think we spotlighted like 9 individual spotlight films, but before we run, I would love if you guys could talk briefly about the different showcases, because I know those are highlights every year where you, you know, you sort of have grouped films together in various themes.
Exactly.
Well, this year we actually been able to add more films to what would be our traditional showcases. So the environmental showcase, for example, really has 4 films, 2 shorts and 2 features. Each feature is preceded by a short. So we have the Water Walker, which is a short film that follows the granddaughter of Leonard Peltier and the American Indian Movement. And as they fight toward preserving water, she takes the fight to the UN. It's beautifully shot. It's a returning filmmaker at our festival. It's made by James Burns.
Think of the Greta Thunberg of the Native people.
Indigenous, right. Okay. Yes. And then it's followed by a feature documentary called The End of the Line, The Women at Standing Rock, which really points out how really the women took up the battle and even inspired the men to get behind the battle for against the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And it's also a cultural look at Indigenous women at the same time.
Exactly.
And then you want to do the other two environmental?
Well, the other two are, there's a Journey Upstream, which is more of a local film.
In the Chesapeake,
yeah, about fish and what's happening in our own backyard to the water and fish. And then we have Fish and Men, which is a documentary that was shot up in Manchester, Massachusetts. And it really tells the fishing industry story, the overfishing and the what. I mean, there are so many fish. The shocking part is there are so many fish that we eat 4 or 5 fish in this country. And there are just so many others that we could be eating and we don't even know about. We don't eat, you know, they eat them all through Europe.
Right.
They're wonderful, but they don't come to America. So, I mean, it's not part of our industry here. And we need to start opening this up in order to be able to.
And not overfish the other populations.
Exactly.
Not only environmentally to not overfish, but as a consumer, I want to taste these other fish.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And this is a really good doc. I mean, it really just does kind of just takes you on this tour. You think, oh, Fish and Men, what are we going to, is this really interesting? It is interesting. Yeah. It's fascinating, actually.
People don't even realize where their seafood comes from. Right. So we need to really start asking many more questions.
Yeah.
Another great showcase we always have every year that relates to water is our sailing showcase. Yeah. We have a really fun adventure film this year. It's very irreverent. It's called The Race to Alaska. And the only rule is your boat cannot have an engine. It's a 9-day, 750-mile race through some of the most frigid waters and worst currents out in Alaska. And you see every kind of vessel you can imagine.
Super dangerous, super, super dangerous, and a little bit crazy. They're all crazy that are doing it. You know, there's in a mode. But one of the interesting things is that one of the participants is a paddleboarder. The next one has a big racing sailboat and they're on an even keel. They're thrown in the same waters at the same time.
Right.
So Gary Jobson is going to be doing the live interactive Q&A afterwards. He's our famed sailor from Annapolis.
Yeah. Gary used to host all the sailing events on ESPN.
And he's a world-class sailor and winner of the America's Cup. I think that that is going to be a big hit here in Annapolis.
And oh, yeah. Annapolis, you know, sailboats are, you're no stranger to that there. So
exactly.
All right, cool. A couple other showcases you want to touch on really quick?
Yeah. We have the African American Experience Showcase, which we do every year. We've been ahead of the game on including that as part of our mission from day one, 9 years ago. We're very proud of that because we've included our community, and it's one of the only events in our town that naturally, organically brings Black, white, all races together to see films. And that is one of the things we're really proud of. So this year it's going to be River City Drumbeat, which is the feature length documentary about Louisville, Kentucky, the school in Louisville, Kentucky that has this drum line. And it's run by an older man who has given devoted everything to changing the lives of underserved kids through this drum project.
But now has to pass the baton
to a new person. And his wife, who was a big part of it, has passed away. So he's now moving on and they're looking to find the perfect person. And it's a fascinating story. And the kids are wonderful. And it just makes you feel like something is going on. Think there are things that are being done right in this country as well.
It's preceded by a wonderful, spectacular short film called Concerto as a Conversation. And it's Oscar nominated. It is actually a short film that's sort of, it's not autobiographical, but it's family related. It's Chris
Bowers,
the composer.
Oh yeah.
And it's a look at his relationship with his grandfather and how that impacted his own journey to where he is now. It's beautifully done. It's spectacular.
So his grandfather, he's directing this little film and interviewing his grandfather. But he himself is a famed composer. He wrote Green Book, the music for Green Book. Mm-hmm. And he's a really interesting person in the way he deals with his grandfather. So that is a stylized short that will run before the other, and we also will have a Q&A with Chris Bowers.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool that he's actually gonna call in. That's great.
Yeah. And then our other, and last but not least, certainly, it's a double whammy this year. Our Jewish Experience is two weekends, not just one. Normally when we're in person, we have bagels, lox, and coffee and a big social event. And so we decided we would have two weekends of Jewish Experience. So the first weekend starts with
Thou Shalt Not Eat.
Yeah. Two features the first weekend. Thou Shalt Not Hate is an Italian film that follows the story of a Jewish doctor that is, he's hit in a hit and run, and it's his interaction with a family, the neo-Nazis and German Nazi sympathizers. It's very, very powerful. Yeah. And it delivers a clear message. And then, of course, you can't have a serious film without a comedy. So don't forget, Kiss Me Kosher is a lesbian rom-com of Israeli and a German family. And they're all meeting in Israel to meet each other. And they have to look at the differences and the similarities and find common ground.
And deal with their past and what they bring, the baggage they bring with them historically, and how they deal with that. But it's lively and entertaining. And then the second Sunday, we have a short film called Ruth, A Journey,
A Little Girl's Big Journey.
That's just an animation of Dr. Ruth Westheimer's journey into America and her success. And it's followed by another film just off of Sundance called Misha and the Wolves.
Now this one,
which is a very compelling, I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's kind of being talked about. It's kind of controversial in some ways, but it's a really interesting mystery documentary about an older woman who comes to this country, and she's written a book and she's kind of well-known. She's been out there on Oprah and all of that. And her story was that she escaped Nazi Germany and she ran into the forest and she lived with the wolves. And then she escaped, they took care of her. And then she was able to find her way out and looking for her family and made her way to America. And this was the story she told. And then when a journalist gets involved later to try to bring her story back and tell it, do another part of the book and create it. They start to ask questions, and then it takes a left turn and then another left turn and then a right turn, and watch the road ahead because you're in for a ride.
So maybe a little embellishment, a little shattered glass themes going on, maybe.
You got to watch it to see it. You got to see it to believe it.
I'm very intrigued to see that one. All right, cool. Well, we definitely gave folks a smattering of a bunch of different stuff to watch. I guess in closing, let's wrap with, give me a little soundbite on, just sort of the idea of, yes, we can't wait until we're all back out and people can actually roam around Annapolis like usual, I guess, next year. But in the meantime, this is the best state of the art streaming you can do, and you've come together. We're going to get through this, that kind of a thing.
Okay, well, let me start by saying this was an unprecedented year to even find good films. Not a lot of content was made this year. Mm-hmm. It was either in post from last year or had been held for release. So we have been
searching,
meticulous in terms of finding really good films, and it's been twice as hard this year. So next year, we hope it's live and in person.
So next year is our 10th year, and that's a big celebration.
A decade of film in Annapolis. And we are going to blow it out.
So next year we want to have guests. This is if all goes well. We want to be able to invite a lot of our industry guests, a lot of our filmmakers. We want to have parties that'll blow you away. We want to have amazing films and some new and unique programs possibly that will end up on the scene as well. But we want to make year 10 something very special. We always wanted to make 10 special, but now coming out of this pandemic, we have to make it special.
The thing we keep hearing over and over from our audience members and our loyal festival goers is, gosh, we miss that community feel where 14, 15,000 people are out over 4 days and you're bumping into everybody you haven't seen for a year.
Right.
And everybody's saying, what did you see? What did you see? Let's have a glass of wine. Let's do this. Or, it's that feeling of community. And we really are a community festival. That's right. What we've always been. We've made things very accessible for people. And we want to continue.
We're not
that.
A Zoom festival. We never planned to be a Zoom festival, but that's what we've all become, all the festivals in the country, And so next year, we're breaking the barriers of the Zoom, and we're going back to interact with each other, which is so missed in this community and all around the country.
So don't forget, April 8th to the 18th, 10 days virtual. Get your pass. There are a limited number of passes, and tickets are available at annapolisfilmfestival.org.
It's going to be a rainy weekend. The first weekend, I think it's going to have some rain. So get your popcorn, curl up on your couch, and watch the Annapolis Film Festival. You won't be disappointed.